Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Taking the gospel to a resistant culture is not easy. Without a passion for the gospel and for the Lord, tangible results will be hard to come by. The Apostle Paul's passion was clear. He was ready to die so that his hearers might live. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. Turn again to Acts chapter 21, where Paul says no to those trying to dissuade him from going to Jerusalem.
You remember what the Apostle Paul said in chapter 21. It says, I am willing to die in Jerusalem. Now they were urging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Verse 13, Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but to die in Jerusalem. Sometimes you have to just ignore the tears. The tears are fine, but you can't go that way. I have two sisters, both of whom were missionaries, one in Africa for about 30 years and one in Mexico for 20 some years. And every time we said goodbye to them, we always cried as a family. It always seemed so long and so many years, and we never knew whether we would meet again. But you know, there are times doing the will of God, you just need to say, I have to set all that aside. Cry your eyes out, but be obedient to God if you have passion. Paul had that passion. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to be imprisoned. I wish I had that passion. I prayed yesterday that I would. This passion for God, that no matter what he asks me to do, no matter what he asks me to go through, I might say I love him so much that I don't even count my life dear to myself, but I'm willing to die for the faith. Would God birth a passion like that in the hearts of all those, the family of Moody Church? Could you imagine what we could do in the city of Chicago with that kind of passion and love for God? So the first thing is obedience. A second thing I notice in the Apostle Paul, as we have this window into his heart, is his humility. Here he is, he's being told what to do, and he does it. Maybe he had some misgivings, but you see, he was interested in the unity of the church. The church was about to split, and he would have been the cause of it. Because they were saying that, you just tell people to disregard Moses. And he needed to show that in certain areas it was okay, as I mentioned earlier, as long as it didn't confuse the issues of the gospel. And that's a reminder of the fact that when you go to the mission field, there's much in the culture where you find yourself that you can appreciate and that you can incorporate. But when it comes to the issue of the gospel, the line must always be clear. Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone, alone. But I marvel at Paul's humility. You know, he was sailing on a ship and having traversed some of the areas that the Apostle Paul traversed, as we did when we were on that tour, I marveled at how long he had to travel. You know, I mean, Caesarea to Jerusalem, what are we talking about? 35, 40 miles? You walk it, takes several days, horseback, a few less days, difficult travel. It didn't matter. God was to be glorified. As he said in the book of Philippians, whether it is by life or by death, God must be glorified. Yesterday, I just happened to take from my shelf a book I've perused before, as you might guess. It's entitled Just As I Am by Billy Graham. And I just happened to reread the chapter on his London crusade. Now, many of you weren't born during that time. That was 1954. Billy is 35 years old. 35 years old. My goodness. He's just come in from the barn. He was a farm boy. And he goes to London, and because of a misunderstanding, he gets all of the press. I won't even tell you the story, but there is such a crush on him when he arrives in Waterloo Station that he needs help to proceed. They go to Haringey Arena. Yeah, it only holds 12,000 to 14,000, but imagine this. They rent it for 3 months. And as the weeks go by, the crowds get bigger and bigger until there are more people outside of the arena than there are in the arena to hear Billy preach. One of the most remarkable crusades. No wonder when he was finished, he was 15 pounds lighter. It almost killed him. But imagine his humility. Billy Graham today is one of the most humble, unassuming men you'll ever meet. Passion for God, always humility. Lauren Sanney asked the question, how do you know whether or not you have the heart of a servant? The answer is by the way in which you react when you are treated like one. That's how you know whether you have the heart of a servant. All God-intoxicated people do, because it doesn't matter. It's not about us. It's a God thing. Finally, there's clarity. By clarity, I mean the ability to be able to see exactly what the purpose of life is. And if you don't have something that you are willing to die for, you aren't fit to live. Paul says, I'm willing to die for the gospel and to go for Jerusalem. Can you imagine living a life like that with something to die for that you know is eternal? And it has to do with the eternal God. God grant us that passion. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a man in whom I have more than just a passing interest. His name was Martin Luther, who had a similar zeal and passion for God. Can't give the background for lack of time, but he's on his way to Worms, Germany. W in German is pronounced like a V. It is Worms. It is the diet of worms, is the way in which some English people talk about it. By the way, it's a diet that works. That's been proven. There's the cub diet, you know, that works. You eat only when the cubs win. But there's also the diet of worms. Both work. He's told not to go. He's told, you go to Worms, you're going to be killed. To Worms. Luther says, I will go to Worms even if there are as many devils there as there are tiles on the roofs. And I've been to Worms many times, and I've pointed that out to people and said, let's look at the tiles on the roofs. He's asked to recant his writings. The first day, he says, give me time to think about it. They say, okay, come back the next day. It was good that it happened that way. Because the next day, this was a big diet. The next day, the Emperor Charles V is there, the head of the Holy Roman Empire. All of the German princes, both the religious and the civil rulers of Europe, show up. Luther is asked to recant. You remember the famous line that I'm sure I've mentioned to you many times. My conscience is taken captive by the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant, so help me God. But before he says that, he prays this prayer the evening before. When you hear it prayed, think of Paul praying as he goes to Jerusalem. Luther said, because he expected to die. It was just a done deal. It didn't happen because of some reasons, but it was like saying, here I am, kill me. Okay? This is what he prays. O Almighty and everlasting God, how terrible is this world. Behold, it opens its mouth to swallow me up, and I have so little trust in thee. How weak is the flesh. Satan, how strong. If it is only in the strength of this world that I might put my trust, all is over. My last hour has come. My condemnation has been pronounced. O God, do thou help me against all the wisdom of this world. Do this, thou shouldest do this. Thine, I have nothing to do here, nothing to contend with for these great ones of the world. I should desire to see my days flow on peacefully and happily, but the cause is thine, and it is a righteous and eternal cause. O Lord, help me. Faithful and unchangeable God, in no man do I place my trust. It would be vain. All that is of man is uncertain. All that cometh of man fails. O God, my God, hearest thou me not? My God, art thou dead? No, thou canst not die. Thou only hidest thyself. Thou hast chosen me for this work, and I know it well. Act then, O God, stand at my side for the sake of thy well-beloved Jesus Christ, who is my defense, my shield, and my tower. Lord, where stayest thou? O my God, where art thou? Come, I am ready. I am ready to lay down my life for truth, patient as a lamb. For it is a cause that is just. It is thy cause. I will never separate myself from thee, neither now or through eternity. And though all the world should be filled with devils, though my body, which is still the work of thy hand, should be slain, stretched out upon the pavement, be cut in pieces, reduced to ashes, my soul is thine. Yes, thy word is my assurance of it. My soul belongs to thee. It shall abide with thee forever. Amen. Amen. God help me. God help me. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are so full of self, so filled with our aches and pains and our own desires and our own attempts to be successful, that we've lost the vision of what it means to be wholly and totally passionate for thee. Whatever that means, Lord, in our vocations, in our families, in our futures, would you grant that to us, Lord? Thank you for Paul, who said, I'm willing to be imprisoned, to die in Jerusalem. Give us, Father God, a double measure of that passion, a passion of Luther, who is willing to give his life for a just cause. Grant that, O God, today. And for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they see today that when they believe on him, he cleanses them, receives them, and welcomes them into everlasting habitations. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, a moment ago, you just heard the prayer of Martin Luther before the Diet of Worms, when he was going to be condemned to die, and he was condemned to die. You remember his famous stand, my conscience is taken captive by the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant. So help me God. The emperor issued a decree that anyone who killed Martin Luther could do so without any reprisal, because Luther now was an outlaw. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I had that kind of courage? If we could pray a prayer like that, that we are willing to die for Jesus Christ, think of what that would mean in America and around the world with Christians who are that committed. At the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Hope that you take advantage of that, share them with your friends, and pray that God will give all of us the spirit of power, even as the early church had many years ago.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Light Shines in Jerusalem, the fifth message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, Paul's in prison in Caesarea, where the light shines on a governor. Light Shining in Darkness, eight messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.